Spin 103.8. You're welcome back to Spin Talk with Lauren. Now, today on the show, as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we want to know how breast aware you are and if maybe breast cancer has touched your life. So lots of people are sharing already, getting involved in the conversation. You can do so as always by text or WhatsApping 087 711 1038. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Snapchatter Circa Lavelle and also Carla O'Neill, Director of Nursing at the Marie Keating Foundation. Ladies, you're very welcome. Oh, it would help if I put up your microphones, yeah. Wouldn't it? There we go. You're very welcome to studio today.
Thanks for having us.
If it's okay, I'm going to start with Circa. You were in studio with us before sharing your story. And yeah. People who follow you on Snapchat will know that you were diagnosed with breast cancer at 22. Yeah. For anyone who hasn't heard your story, Circa, just remind people what you've been through.
I was diagnosed on August 17th in last year. So nearly just over a year with aggressive breast cancer. And I was only 22 at the time. I did chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and I've had a mastectomy as well. And now I'm on the lead up to another mastectomy as well, which is in the next coming weeks. And yeah, that's kind of my story. And I'm now using my story to raise awareness for other young girls maybe going through the same thing or having family members go through the same thing. And then obviously getting people to be more breast aware and realise that it can just happen at any age, like at like 40, 50, 30, mm-hmm. any age really. So as I said, I was only 22. So
we were talking off air about just the reaction you get to some of your Snap stories, especially yeah. when you're talking about being breast aware, and you were saying there's so many women who don't know how to check their mm-hmm. breasts, but you didn't either.
No, like I had like never known, like it was never a thing to me, because I used to always just shy away from it and be like, oh my god, no, like I'm too young, I'm only like in my 20s, it's not going to happen to me. And I think that's not the right attitude to definitely to have at all. But yeah, like even women in their 40s, I get, and they say to me like, I never knew before you put that up on your Snapchat, like how to properly check and mm-hmm. what the symptoms are and what to look out for. And I just find that phenomenal that people maybe in their 40s or their 30s don't actually know how mm-hmm. to check.
So how did you find a lump? Was it a lump?
But I was very naive at the time. I didn't think it was anything. I presumed that it was nothing. Cancer never even crossed my mind. I had just started a new job. I actually only went to my doctor to get my pill re-prescribed, so they have to do it every 6 months, and I only went back solely because of that. And while I was there, I just said to her, will you check this out for me? It's just a lump. I'm presuming it's going to be like a fatty tissue or nothing of the what happened to me. But she sent me off then to James's, to the breast care nurses in the breast care clinic in James's. I got a mammogram, a biopsy and an ultrasound, and 2 weeks later I was diagnosed.
So it was all happened in 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, because I waited quite a long time from my GP to going to the breast care clinic, because I was put down as a non-emergency. I'm so young. I'm sure anyone who I encountered was like, that's nothing. Like, so I waited, I think about maybe it was about 3 months for it to go. So I got there, and then between my tests and getting my results, it was 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then 2 weeks later, I started my chemotherapy. So it was quite a lot. Like, I started the 31st of August on my chemo.
When you heard the word cancer, what went through your mind?
I literally just like, I laughed so bad because I laugh when I'm nervous. So I laughed and I was like, hey, you're joking, right in front of my consultant's face. And he was like, unfortunately, no. Like, I don't know why that reaction came over me to be like, oh my God, like that's not real. And then like when it kind of sunk in, I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't believe it. I got really, obviously I was quite upset for a while. My mom was with me. She obviously was with me when I got my results. And I kind of just went home that evening, and I think I let it sink in for a while, but it took a while for me to actually come to terms with what is after happening and what I've just been diagnosed with. But once I got over that initial shock, I was like, okay, like it's happened now. I can't go back. There's nothing I can change. So I need to get on with it and do what I can do basically and start my treatment.
And throughout your treatment and your journey, and as you said from the start, it's only been just over a year. Yeah. You've Snapchatted the entire thing and taken people with you.
Yeah, like I started Snapchatting after, like more or less in my radiotherapy. So I did 20 weeks chemotherapy. I took a month off. I then went into surgery and I had a month off. And then after, like during radiotherapy, I then started to start Snapchatting because I kind of was feeling more like myself. Chemo, like I was very sick on chemotherapy. So I didn't want to go on Snapchat and put my story out there when I wasn't feeling 100% myself. So I waited and I started Snapchatting then during my radiotherapy. And now I talk about all my experiences. I talk about like when I go for like mammograms during the, like if I'm going into hospital, like I obviously Snapchat all that. And then I have surgery coming up and I'll snap throughout the whole thing as well. So I do bring my Snapchat along with me.
Has it helped you, do you think?
Yeah, talking about it has. And getting messages off women who have said, oh my God, you've helped me so much, or like girls my age whose mothers are going through it and they're like, I don't know how to deal with this, how would I best cope? Or people whose friends are just recently diagnosed, they're like, oh, what should I do? And I'm like, okay, well, don't do this, don't get them that, like get them something that's nice on their skin because their skin is sensitive, don't get them anything smelly because they'll just want to puke after it. I was like, just be there for somebody, and I think helping other people has helped me.
Okay. And through all this, like, you've had your ups and your downs, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, like it's not over yet. No. You have surgery ahead of you again. It's something that no matter what happens, you're going to keep on this journey, yeah. spreading awareness, yeah. and like working with the likes, yeah. of the Marie Keating Foundation.
I got in touch with the Marie Keating Foundation a while ago at the start of summer, and I just said, like, I want to help you guys raise as much awareness as we can. I want to get people talking about it more. I want to use your services and spread them through my social media and just get it out there more. Mm-hmm. I think the stigma around people are 50 plus getting diagnosed with breast cancer needs to go. I don't think that should be in anyone's mindset anymore. GPs, doctors, anybody's. I think it needs to be that it can happen at any age, and don't just shy away from it just because mm-hmm. you're afraid of something. I think it needs to just be dealt with head on.
And let's bring Carla in here now, because Carla, you're the Director of Nursing at the Marie Keating Foundation.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I feel, well, because everyone loves the story of Marie Keating, loves Ronan Keating. It's been such an amazing foundation now.
Yeah.
But it is something you do associate with the mammies, because it was Ronan Keating's mammy, and you yeah. see the mammies out doing the fundraising. So it must be great to have someone like Sirka involved.
Absolutely, and we're delighted.
Unfortunately, that yeah. she has to be involved, but great for
and
raising
she's
awareness.
She's very generous with her time, and you know, it's really great to have a younger person's perspective as well. You know, just to say that normally with a diagnosis of breast cancer, it usually is above the age of 50, but there are those rarer cases where it is diagnosed at a younger age. So it is, I suppose, the message that we want to get out today is about just being aware and of your body and knowing what those changes might be. So it's having, you know, doing a regular check every month, mm-hmm. And knowing what's normal for you and what's not normal, and then acting on any of those changes and seeking medical advice through your GP. Absolutely. So I suppose, you know, we're always kind of very concerned about, you know, the female perspective, but you know, you have to think about it in terms of also how the illness can impact on the whole family as well.
Of course.
And that's, you know, part of our support services. We would facilitate that through the programs that we do as well.
Yeah, tell me a bit about some of the services that you as Director of Nursing are behind and yeah. having to organise that, because it's not just here in Dublin, it's throughout the country.
We're across the country, yeah. So we have our community mobile units, so we go across the country, you know, visiting workplaces, community groups, schools. We have a big schools programme as well. I can talk about that in a second.
That'd be great. Yeah,
yeah. So essentially creating the awareness and education about different types of cancer, obviously including breast cancer. So again, looking at, you know, what the common signs and symptoms are, what your risk factors are, so how you can make changes to your lifestyle factors that can reduce your risk of cancer, because 4 in 10 cancers can't be prevented. So I suppose that's huge. You know, we mm-hmm. need to kind of take more responsibility for our health in relation to into our risk. So we create that awareness through those programs. We also have our Ask the Nurse service, which is an online service, so anyone can email into us and have any queries about any symptoms they may have, or when they're going through treatment, or it might be even just about a concern about their loved one who's okay. also having treatment.
I actually should, yeah, because we are getting a few messages with questions in, so let's direct people to that, to Ask the Nurse.
Yeah, Ask the Nurse. It's on mariekeaton.ie.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a bit about the skills program you have, Carla.
Yeah, so
great.
This is aimed at transition year students, so primarily 4th, 5th and 6th years. It's a whole complete program around different types of cancer, so cervical cancer, testicular cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, and we deliver that to schools across the country. Again, creating that awareness of how to reduce your risk, and looking out for the signs and symptoms, because we know with particularly with younger boys between the ages of 15 to 35, they'd be at higher risk of testicular cancer as well. So again, it's just about creating that awareness about having an open discussion about knowing what your risk factors are, and then being able to act on that and reduce mm-hmm. your risk. So we deliver that across the country, and it's actually part of the social health and personal education curriculum, which is really great, because sometimes it can be difficult getting into schools in terms of
accessing. I would imagine, yeah.
So we do, the feedback from that is really, really positive. And our nurses go out, and we have a lot of teaching aids, so it's very interactive with the students. Mm-hmm. And they love that. As opposed to just talking at them, you get them involved in the discussion. So yeah, we do that throughout the year. And then also we have a number of programs in the area of survivorship. So we do a Survive and Thrive program, which is a 6-week program, and again that's aimed at people who've come through treatment and are dealing with a new normal, so how they can manage those side effects of the treatment, both physically and psychologically. So because it, you know, illness changed you, so I suppose how you adapt to that change can be difficult transition for some people, and it's also open to their caregivers as well, so because they need support also.
That's good to hear, because I can see you nodding, Sirka. It has changed you. Talk to me a bit about the last year and looking back at the person you were maybe last July.
I think I'm definitely like a stronger person coming out of this, because I've learned so much about myself and about just like everything. It's just different. Like looking at my life now was just different to what it was a year ago. I worried about like the simplest of things that I like shouldn't have been stressing about. And I just think when you're dealt with something so difficult and so life-threatening, like people around you die from it every day, and then you've beaten it, I think your whole outlook on life is just going to be 100% different. You're going to like just live every day like it was your last. I just feel like you're just so much more positive. Well, me personally, I feel like I was a lot more positive coming out of it. I used to moan quite a lot. Like, you can ask my brothers. I used to like...
You're allowed.
And then when I got into...
In every argument, you're like, excuse me, I have breast cancer.
Yeah, but then
your get out club.
Yeah, and then I'd come out of it now. And like, even my brother will say, he'll be like, you moaned less going through this than you ever did before. And I'm like, okay. But I think a positive mind and a positive outlook on this whilst you're going through this is definitely key to getting out of it. Like, because I feel like just having a positive outlook on it just really helped me. I didn't feel quite like down the dumps, and like obviously some days are worse than others, but your good days definitely outweigh your bad days, for me anyway.
Do you still find it hard to plan long term? Are you still a bit day to day, week to week at the moment?
Yeah, totally, because I want to plan a holiday with my friend, but then it's when am I going to have my surgery, when am I going to be recovered, because it's 6 weeks recovery. So, or like, and they say 6 weeks, but that could turn into 8 weeks. Like, you don't know how it's going to affect you. Like, I don't know how this surgery will affect me more than my other one. Like, my other one I was in for 15 nights. This one I could be in for 5, or I could be in for 20. It literally depends on how my body wants to go with it, basically. So I can't really plan anything much in advance, because it's just too hard. Like, I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 weeks' time.
This is it. Like, I'm wondering, like, when you are with your doctors, with your team, asking questions, do they have to be careful in how they answer?
Yeah,
because if they say, yeah, in 2 weeks you'll be grand, and you're not.
Yeah, they can't. They say, like, I was with my breast care nurse the other week, and it's like they give you a provisional date for a certain thing. They won't say, okay, 100% you're going to be this in 2 weeks' time, because they don't know. Like, as much as I don't know, it's my own body and I don't even know. So they will give you a provisional for what they think is going to happen, but it's never set in stone.
Okay.
My first surgery, I was supposed to be out after 5 days, and I was in for 15 nights. You just don't know.
After this next surgery, is that it?
I'm still on treatment.
Okay.
So I have treatment until the end of October, called Herceptin. It's every 3 weeks, but I've only two more of them left. I have one this Wednesday, and then I have one in 3 weeks' time, and then I'm on tamoxifen. It's just a tablet that I take for the next 5 to 10 years, but then it's just it's 6 monthly checkups to make sure that everything's okay. But other than that, like, I'll be, like, I'm in remission since February, so, like, but after this surgery, I'm more than likely, like, I won't be in the out of the hospital, like, every week like I am now.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Carla, I would imagine you hear so many stories like Sirka. Like, I think when you say you work for a cancer foundation, people must think, oh my God, that's the most depressing thing in the world. But it must be great to hear all the positive stories when people have had their cancer detected early.
Absolutely. And that's what we're about, Lauren, you know, in terms of getting that message out there, because we know that your prognosis is much more favourable if you get treated earlier. So, yeah, I mean, it can be challenging in terms of this is your everyday bread and butter, this is what I'm dealing with every day, but it's actually I'm in a really privileged position to be meeting people like Sirka, because that's what motivates you to keep telling the message. You know, we do that through all our initiatives, both our services and our fundraising initiatives. Like, so, you know, we've got our Pigs Back run on the 15th of October, so, and that's where we try to get people to kind of nearly have more of a family approach to it, and involving everybody who's part of that journey, to kind of get involved, because that's really what it's about, kind of doing something worthwhile, and that kind of can give people hope as well. It's, we're always about, you know, maintaining that hope in people's lives, so, and that's really important. You need that to keep you focused,
absolutely.
But that's not to say that you have to be, you know,
doing 5Ks every weekend.
Yeah, absolutely not. You could walk it like me maybe, or but you know, and it's just about kind of, you know, making those changes to your life that are going to have benefit both for you and for your family and your loved ones, you know. So
as you said earlier on, it's something the whole family goes through.
Absolutely.
There's so much great information online, mariekeating.ie. You mentioned Ask the Nurse, all your services outlined and people's stories are there, so definitely urge people to take a look there. Carla O'Neill, I mentioned, is Director of Nursing with the Marie Keating Foundation, and of course you can follow Sirka on Snapchat. Give people your handle there.
SOORCHAAXO. I made this before.
Everyone that comes into
I made this
that has a Snapchat following, they're like, I thought of my name before people started following
me. Yeah, I'm like, it's not like Claire Ballings where hers is like Claire.Balling. I'm like, no, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
I don't have a set up like that.
And what is one more thing Adela's telling us to mention?
I just want to mention, we're going to have a seminar on the 24th of October in the Royal College of Surgeons.
Fantastic.
So yeah, it's on from 6:15 until 8:30. And again, there'll be expert speakers on issues like about nutrition and diet, physical activity and mindfulness. So for people who are going through treatment or who've come through their treatment. So that's a free event and people can attend. So if you just want to register for the event, just go on to our website to do that.
Mariekeating.ie. Carla and Sirka, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been great having you.
Thanks.
I would love to hear from you if you want to get involved in the conversation today. Maybe you've been through something similar, your family has been touched by something similar. Get involved. 087 711 1038.